Now, we preached the last two Sunday nights on a series of messages when it seems like your prayer life is going nowhere. And there are times that it seems that way, that it just seems like it's going nowhere. And we looked at all the reasons for why it seems that way. But this morning, I want to preach on a thought that that we have a God that responds. And boy, I'm glad this morning that I'm serving a God that responds. And that word respond means to answer, amen? And I'm glad that he answers. I want you to look in 1 Kings chapter 18, look in verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. They took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and there, and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and we thank you again, Lord, and that for the wonderful spirit that we failed, and that not only in the choir singing today, but Lord, in the Sunday school hour, we thank you for that. But Lord, it's come now time for the preaching, and we pray that you'd just touch us and anoint us afresh. Lord, that you'd guard our mind and our thoughts today. Keep Satan far away from this building and from folks' hearts. Don't let him be a hindrance today and that to this service, whether to these dear folks sitting out there or to me. God, I just pray you'd bind him up. Lord, keep him away. If there's one lost, save him. Bring him to a place of repentance. If there's one need to draw close, let him come. But Lord, let us understand and that from the message that you're a God that responds. And when folk pray, Lord, we love you today. I thank you for your blessings that you've given us. Meet with us now. Save that sinner's nearest tale for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and do pray. Amen. And amen. You can be seated this morning. Most of us knows this scripture. You understand what's going on. It's not rained and that for 3.5 years. The children of Israel, they're serving Baal. And Elijah's got them on top of Mount Carmel up there. And they're having a contest. They were Baal worshipers, and they're fixing to have a showdown. And they cried all day, all afternoon, and that to Baal. And it become the evening time for the evening sacrifice. And Elijah prays that prayer, that 63-word prayer. And God responded. You flip over, or you go over in the latter part of the chapter. It's not rained for 3.5 years. Elijah goes on top on Mount Carmel, goes on up, and he begins to pray, and God sends rain. Now, let me say that I really believe that God sent rain for a few reasons. One right here, it says, and when the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord. Lord. He is God. Hey, they finally realized who God was. Listen, they had put Baal and that on the spot. They'd shine the light on him that he couldn't do what they thought he could do. And Elijah rebuilds the sacrifice, the altar for the evening sacrifice. Prays that prayer, and God not only answers by fire, but he licks up the sacrifice, licks up the rock, licks up the water, and friend, he responded in a great way. And hey, I'm glad today that I'm serving a God that responds. Listen, it hadn't rained for 3.5 years. He goes and prays and continues to pray, and finally God responds. You read what happened right there. Look what it's saying. Now, Notice that Elijah told Ahab, he said, "Get thee up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went to the top of Carmel and cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. That old carnal king and that went to eat and drink, but that spiritual prophet went on to pray. Now, that ought to tell you something right there, who had the power with God in that situation. Now, he went and done what Elijah told him to do, but I'm going to tell you, if he knew anything about God, he'd have been right along with Elijah, amen, wanting to pray. Let me tell you today, if we're going to get God to respond and that in our life, we're going to have to pray. And that's what it boils down to. But I got a few things to look at, and then we'll go to the house. Amen. Number one, first of all, let me say that we have a God that responds when sinners cry out. Hey, I'm glad he still saves sinners today. Ain't you glad the night or the day, wherever it was when you got saved, that Jesus heard your cry? I'm glad that he does. I take your Bible and go over to the book of Mark chapter 10 this morning. Look with me in Mark chapter 10. We find, first of all, a man that was blind. I believe this is about blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, look in verse 46. Mark 10 verse 46, and the Bible says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." Now let me say, listen, there wasn't much to Bartimaeus. There wasn't much to him. I mean, he's blind. His name didn't even mean nothing. It just meant the son of Timaeus. Listen, and he's sitting over there begging. He can't help himself. He can't do anything for himself. He can't even see himself. And the Bible said, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to what? Cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" Boy, I remember the night that I come to him, all I knew to do was cry out to the God in heaven that he had hear my prayer. Amen. Hey, ain't you glad today that wherever it was when you cried out, you may not have cried out audibly, but you cried out from your heart, and you knew within yourself that God in heaven had heard your prayer. Boy, I'm glad. I'm glad. Listen, I'm glad the night that I got saved, I know that he responded to my cry. You say, how do you know that he responded to your cry? Read on right here. Read on right here. And the Bible said, "And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal." Boy, he wanted to come. You know, when somebody wants to get saved, you can't stop them. It don't matter. It don't matter, boy, I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit's dealing with him, it don't matter what's going on in the service. It don't matter if it's after service or before service. If it's in the middle of the preaching. Listen, I've seen folk get saved in singing. I've seen them get saved in the middle of preaching. I've seen them get saved after church and before church. Get saved at home. Listen, I've seen them get, why? Because the Holy Spirit was dealing with them. He's a God that responds, but pay attention. So, the Bible said, "And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" He knew who he needed to cry out to. Let me say today, if you've never cried out to the Lord, today's your day. Today's your day to cry out. Listen, I'll guarantee you he'll hear you today. And Jesus stood still. Boy, I'm glad that when sinners call, he takes attention. and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, arose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said to him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. That blind man was different than what he was when he met Jesus. When I got saved, I was different. And notice what he said. Not only did he see, but he followed Jesus in the way. Well, when you get saved, you follow the Lord, don't you? I mean, you follow him, you begin to follow after him. Boy, I'm telling you, the blind man cried out for him. Take your Bible and go back 5 chapters and look at Mark chapter 5. We not only find the blind man that cried out to him, but you find a bound man. In Mark chapter 5, you find the man that we call Legion. The Bible said, and they came over under the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now pay attention to what's going on right here. Jesus, they went through this storm in Mark chapter 4. I know there's a song wrote on this that the blind the legion saw the storm and the ship, and that he supposedly saw Jesus and that step out on the bow of that boat. I don't know whether he did or not. Made a good song, amen. But I do know this, that when Jesus got off that boat on the shore of the Gadareans over there, legion showed up. Now what made him show up and after Jesus? You know, a lot of times sinners, they run from the Lord. But listen, this old boy knew that he needed something that he couldn't get anywhere else. Read on right down through here with me. And the Bible said, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. He came to him. Jesus didn't come to him. He came to Jesus. Now Christ got to where he was. Don't misunderstand me. For a sinner to cry out, the Holy Spirit has to come and deal with their heart first. He has to be coming by the way. I understand that this morning. I realize that. But at least I want you to understand, when Jesus stepped off that boat, and this man that is full of the devil, this man that had cried night and day, lived among the in the graveyard, he cut himself. One of the gospels said he was naked all the time. And listen, and no man could bind him nor tame him. But yet, when he came to Christ, you see, it made all the difference. But when Jesus saw him, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And see, this was the devil talking out of him. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. So he not only had one, he had many. And as we read on down through there, you'll find that the Lord cast that devil out, or those devils out, into those swine over there, about 2,000 swine, and they all ran down an embankment and drowned themselves in the sea. Well, the Bible said, as they come and told the Lord, or told about what the Lord had done, if you read, let me see if we can find it in verse 15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. As you've heard me say many times, they wasn't afraid of him when he was full of the devil, because they would bind him, they would try to tame him, they'd try to help him. But boy, when he got Jesus on the inside, that's when they got afraid. You know when the world gets afraid of us? When Jesus gets seen in us, you see. That's when they get nervous. I mean, listen, they'll put you on a pill and want to talk to you and all these things. And I know medicine's good, and I know some people need to talk and all those things. But you know the only thing that's going to fix a sinner's heart? Jesus. Right. Jesus. He's the only thing that can fix him. Folk want to get tamed, want to get helped. The only one that they need to go to is the Lord. You can see in Mark chapter 1, you find that the leper and that came and cried out to him. You'll find in Mark 5, later on in this chapter, that the woman that had the issue of blood, she came and touched him and he healed her. But when a sinner cries out to the Lord, notice that these right here knew that they could not fix theirself. Neither could anybody else. But when they cried out to the Lord, he done all the fixing. I'm glad I come to a place one night that I realized that I couldn't fix it. You know, as preachers, we preach a lot and we carry on a lot and we talk about a lot of things. I'm glad I know that I couldn't fix it. But you know, the only true thing that I realized the night that I got saved, and this replays in my mind all the time. The only thing that I realized the night that I got saved was that I was lost. That was it. People tell you, well, you got to know this and know that and do this and know. All you got to do is realize that you're unsaved and that Christ can save you. And if you'll come to Him and call out to Him, the Bible said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We've got a new missionary. Well, we've actually got one coming tonight, as a matter of fact. Oh, speaking of that, be here tonight. We've got a missionary coming. We've got one coming, I believe, in March, and he's headed to Mexico. Him and his family is from Idaho, and they're going to go to Mexico. That ought to be a trip, shouldn't it? Folk from Idaho going to Mexico. He sent me some information, and I read his testimony. I read his wife's testimony, and she got saved early in life, like 4 or 5 years old. And she said that thing bothered her over the years until she just really come to realize about Romans 10:13 when he said, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If he's convicting you about your sin and you call out to him, he'll save you. He'll save you. You got to call out, though. It takes more than just coming to an altar. It takes more than crying. You know, a lot of folk can come and cry and just feel better. And listen, now that I got saved, I'm sure I cried, but I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And I'm glad he wouldn't turn nobody away that come to him. John chapter 6 said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. Well, I'm glad he responds when a sinner cries out. Boy, everybody in here ought to be excited about that. Because see, we didn't bring nothing good to him, but he brought all good to us. You go back through and you look at every type of every sinner in the Bible, whether it was one that was blind or whether it was one that was sick, dealing with leprosy, the bound man over there is full of the devil. Listen, you look at every type of sickness that is a type of sin. None of those people could heal their self. But yet when they cried out to the Heavenly Father, He healed them. I'm glad salvation is immediate. I'm glad that it is forever. It is eternal. Amen. I'm glad it is this morning. Listen, the God that responds, He responds when sinners... Hey, could I even tell you that heaven responds when sinners cry out? If you go over to Luke 15, you'll find out He talks about that. Sheep that got lost over there, and the shepherd left the 99 and went and sought out that one sheep. And I always get in my mind, I can see this sheep out there wandering around in the desert, and he falls down in the crevice, a cliff or the rock down there. And no doubt he's bleating. And boy, he's making all the racket he can because he wants the shepherd to come and get him. Boy, I'm telling you, I feel like that sheep sometimes. I get to bleating around and wanting the shepherd to come to where I am. Amen. I'll deal with that here in just a little bit. But you know what? I think that shepherd, as he's going through there and he's listening, and he said, here, sheepy, sheepy, here, sheepy, sheepy. And he's listening with that ear. You know, the Bible said that the Lord, you know what? In Psalms chapter 40, that the Lord waited patiently for me and said He inclined unto me and heard my cry. You know, that word inclined means He bent over and He was listening for my crying. The Bible said He lifted me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going and put a new song in my mouth. But I think about that shepherd. He's listening for that sheep to bleat And boy, I'm telling you, when he hears him, there he goes. And he's got that shepherd's staff in his hand. And I can imagine as he takes him, and he may have to reach down in the cliff of the rock and the crevice and take that hook and pull him out of that thing. And the Bible said, and when he had found him, he says he puts him on his shoulders. So he's got two legs hanging across here and two legs hanging across here. And that sheep's all the way across. He's a bearing that sheep, ain't he? That sheep ain't walking back by himself. That sheep ain't getting back on his own. You understand what I'm saying? He got out there on his own. But listen, he's not going back. The shepherds got him. And you know what? You know the thing about sheep? They say if it gets flipped up too long on its back, and it can't do it. Its extremities, its lower extremities, its feet and legs and all that will go to sleep. Now, that's just what they say, whoever they are, okay? And they can't walk when they've been flipped up for a great amount of time. Do you know that they can't flip themselves upright if they get on their back? I watched the video of a shepherd the other day. That sheep was just out, a big old sheep. And that thing was laying on its back, and them legs was doing this number. I mean, and it was a rocking back and forth and doing all that it could. And that shepherd just reached over and flipped that thing up on its legs and it took off. When me and you get flipped over sometimes, we're like this anyway. And we can't do nothing to help ourselves. But boy, I'm glad the shepherd comes by and flips us over and we can go on. Amen. I'll deal with that here in a little bit too. Listen. He went and he got the one sheep. And he said he brought it home and he called to his neighbors and said, "Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep." And the Lord said that there is what? Joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. I believe heaven gets excited when folk get saved. I really do. I believe that with all my heart. Take your Bible and go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm not going to preach anything y'all don't know, okay? It's just exciting this morning. Listen, number two, not only when sinners cry out, but when the saved congregate, ain't you glad that the Lord responds? You know, when we come together with one heart, with one mind, and we come with the idea that we're going to seek the Lord, like this morning. Boy, I'm telling you, if we'll get up here in the choir, and we'll come up here with the idea that we're going to sing about Him and sing to Him. Amen. He'll respond. I'll guarantee you. Every time. But you know what? Before we even do that, look in 1 Chronicles chapter 20. Or 2 Chronicles 20. Now you have to understand. There's three countries coming up. And that against the children of Israel. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the seaside, beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to do what? Seek the Lord. It's very important right there. What did he do? He began to call out on the Lord, okay? And proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Now watch this right here. And all Judah gathered themselves together to what? To ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. All right, the king, he's seeking the Lord. He's got all of Judah to come in. They're fasting and they're seeking the Lord. All right, you get all this in your mind now. All right, got enemies coming. Three different countries coming, and all Jehoshaphat knows how to do is pray. Let's seek God. You ever been there? You ever been there where all you knew to do was just pray? Seek God. But you know what he does? Jehoshaphat not only prays himself, but he gets everybody together. And they begin to pray. Kind of like we done last Sunday morning for that little boy. We got to praying, you see. And Jehoshaphat stood, verse 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. That's very important. And said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou would hear and help. Now let me park right here, and I'll say the same thing that Brother Seaton used to say. He didn't have to remind God who he was, nor what he had promised. But you know what he was trying to do? He was trying to remind those people that were standing around, that was listening, hey, listen, he is the God that did drive out the inhabitants before us. He is the God that did make those promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and come through on all of them. You know, he was just what? Reminding them of some things. Kind of like I'm trying to do all of us this morning. It ain't that most of you don't know what I'm preaching this morning. We just need to be reminded of it every now and then. We know that God responds. Every one of us, I have no doubt, that's been saved in here has seen God respond at one time or another to our prayers. I believe you've probably seen him respond when we get together and begin to pray as his people. Let me read on. Look what he said. He goes back and he talks about, he said, if when evil cometh upon us as a sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before you. You know what he's talking about right there? That was Solomon's dedicatorial prayer that he prayed over there when they dedicated the temple. That's what God said. He said, if when famine come, judgments come, he said, if you'll come down here and just pray at this place, he said, I'll hear you. Go back and read it. And now, look what he does. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab, Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. Boy, I like to preach that a lot. But our eyes are upon thee. Now let me park. I'll park here for just a minute. He said, look, we don't know what to do, but we're calling on you and we're looking to you. Just not me. Look in verse 13. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. You know why it's good for your children to be in service? So they can see God move. They need to have that memory of watching folk come to the altar. They need to have that memory of seeing folk raise their hand in service. They need that. They need that. They need to know that. You need to teach them that. You need to be an example to them. I was thinking about the other day. I seen, and I know I dwell on this from time to time, but I am a product of my raising. There's no doubt about that. I mean, they made us go to church. I mean, Mom and Daddy made us go to church. And the night that I got saved, my mother testified to the fact, and I needed to hear this, and those standing around needed to hear it, that she was a praying, that she'd know that her children were saved. But what a prayer for a mama to pray. Lord, give me some assurance on my children's salvation. Let me know that they're saved. Boy, I'm telling you, what a mama. Amen. Listen, she was just concerned about my salvation. A lot of mamas are concerned about what their children are going to do out in the world and how great they're going to make it and all those things. But I'm telling you, mamas and dads, you need to know about their salvation first. And then you need to know that they're going to serve God. Amen. So here they are. They've all congregated. And they've all began to pray. I think it makes a difference when God's people congregate. You go to Acts chapter 12 and you'll find that Peter was in prison over there. And the Bible said in verse 5 that the church prayed for him. And not only did they pray for him, but they prayed for him continually. And they were praying for him when he was put into prison. And if you look, when God finally heard their prayer and moved, you say, did God move because they prayed? I think so. I do. God sent an angel down there. Now think about this for a minute. I don't know if they were praying like I'd pray. I'd be praying, Lord, I don't know how you're going to get that boy out of jail. Maybe you can work it this way or work it this way. Maybe you can get him released on being just a model prisoner. Maybe you can just get him released. They'll find him not guilty and Herod will decide to turn him loose. Maybe somebody will come in and break into the prison and get him out. Somebody broke into the prison, all right. So they're over here praying at John Mark's mama's house that God would set him free. And what does he do? He sends one angel down in the middle of that prison. And you know the thing, Brother Jeff? The angel had to kick him on the shin to get him to wake up. He was laying down there asleep, fixing to face the executioner the next morning, and Peter went to sleep. So that angel roused him up and told him to put his shoes on and said, Peter, we got to go. So he takes him through the whole prison. Doors open by themselves and closed by themselves. And when he got out there to the main gate, the thing opened up. And he walked outside. And the angel disappeared. Peter come to himself. And he said, it must have been the Lord. And so he goes over to John Mark Mama's house where the church is still praying. And he knocks on the door and Rhoda comes to the door, but she don't open the door because she hears Peter's voice. And she says, it's Peter. She runs back in the house and they said, nope, Peter's dead or he's in prison. And she kept persisting. No, it's him, it's him. Well, it must be his spirit then. They must have killed him already. And as she kept persisting, they went and opened the door. And there stood Peter. Has the Lord ever done something for you so much that you just really couldn't believe that He done it? I believe they were praying in faith. I really believe that. I believe the early church was praying in faith. But the Lord had done something for them that was so hard to believe. I've been that way a time or two. You pray and you seek God and you got other folk praying. And so God, now look what happens. Now let's go back to 2 Chronicles. I got sidetracked. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles. There they all stand. Judah, their little ones, their wives, and their children. Verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. God showed up, didn't he? He responded, didn't he? They come, they prayed, they sought God, said, we need you to come by, help us, show us what we need to do as a people. I tell you, our church needs that today too. We need to congregate together and ask the Lord, what do you want us to do? Now we know what He wants us to do as a people. We understand that. Let our light shine. Come in here and worship Him and praise Him and learn of Him and just serve Him like we should. But there's some things that each church needs to do, and we need to find out what He wants us to do and how to handle battles and fights and things that are out of our control. So the young preacher, he's a Levite. So the young preacher begins to preach, and he said, hearken, y'all, Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord. Boy, I bet they about shouted unto you. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now let me park right here for just a minute. If you go back to the first part of the prayer, you remember what he was praying over here. Lord, are you not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Did you not be a friend to Abraham? Did you not give us this land? He said, of Abraham thy friend forever. Listen, they had heard this before. They'd heard this before. What do you mean they had heard this before? Be not dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Stay with me. I'll tell you where they heard it. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle, but set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Where'd they heard that at?
I believe they stood at the Red Sea, didn't they, with the Egyptian army behind them. And God said, you ain't going to have to fight. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I believe that probably rung some bells with some of them. Boy, I can remember when God's people was gathered at the Red Sea and God moved. And this is about what God's about to do again right here. Now God's people's congregated together. They've been fasting. They've been praying. They've been trying to seek God. And so they wait to hear. They wait. You know, that's hard to do, ain't it? Wait. Just got to wait to hear. Bible said they're standing there, ain't it? Now Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And they're just waiting on God to send something their way. So, preacher, I've been waiting for a long time to hear from God. Keep on waiting. You'll get there. He will respond. Now, stay with me. Stay with me. Now look what happens. They wait. All right. So, they begin to praise the Lord, don't they? They begin to worship, and they begin to praise. Now, pay attention to what happens. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. All right, they're on the ground. Before the Lord, they're worshiping Him. They've got Him in the right place in their heart, and they've got them in the right place in their heart. And the Levites and the children of Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe His prophets, so shall you prosper. He said, look, have faith in God and believe what He said. That's what you got to do. That's hard to do sometimes, ain't it? God sent His word. Let's believe Him and let's trust Him. That when we get down here, that it's going to be just like God said it's going to be. All right. Now I'm talking about God responds when the saved congregates together. And when He had consulted with the people, He appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of His holiness as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord. Let me say that again. Before the army and to say, praise the Lord for His mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy one another. When Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. What happened? First of all, they gathered together, they congregated, and they waited to hear from God. But after they waited and they heard from God, then they began to worship and they began to praise Him. And you know what God done? He responded, didn't He? You know what? If you'll worship and you'll praise the Lord, I'll guarantee you He'll respond. He will respond. He loves worship and praise. He loves it. You say He's got a complex. God ain't got no complex. We're the one with the complex. He's worthy of it. He's due our worship and praise. I don't know if I'm going to get this done or not. When the saved congregates, take your Bible and go to Mark 4. But when the storm comes, God will respond. I would say that most of us has faced storms in our life. Now I'm preaching on a God that responds. When sinners cry, when the saved congregates, when the storm comes, He'll show up. We'll cry here. Look at Mark chapter 4 and then we'll look at verse 6, or chapter 6 also. Look in verse 35. And the same day when the evening was come, now think about it, it's getting dark, He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when the multitude, and when He had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there was also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship,
so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? You know, if you go over to the book of John and you read that same story, the Bible tells us that they were in jeopardy. I mean, they were in trouble. And they come to him and say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They felt like they were going to die. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. So he was on board for this storm. You understand what's going on? The Lord said, it's got evening time, it's getting dark. And they launch out there. And he said, let us pass over to the other side. Now, there's been probably thousands upon thousands of preachers preach on that. But you know, when the Lord says, let us pass over to the other side, you're going to go to the other side. It does not matter how full your boat gets of water. The Bible said in verse 37, so that it was now full. I've got it penciled in the margin of my Bible that full is full. Full means full. I don't know any other way to read that. That boat was full, but was still sailing right along. I believe the boat was full of water. I believe the storm, can you imagine? I believe that boat was rocked back and forth. I believe as the winds come crashing in and the water come crashing into that boat, and he's got his disciples in there, and he's in the hundred part of the ship, and he's went to sleep, and I mean, it's got dark, and they can't see around them. They don't know what's going on. And but you know, he's close enough to touch. He's close, even though he don't seem to care at this point, because he has let it go on, and he's let it go on for so long, because they got into the place where the boat's full. They got into the place where they thought they were in jeopardy and were going to die, cast on not that we perish, and they go, wake him up. You realize that even when he was asleep, he had it all under control. Wasn't nothing going to happen to that boat as long as he was on board. And so they come to him, and they touched him, and they woke him up. They said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And the Bible said that he simply just stepped out there, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He was close enough to touch. They could see him. They could see the storm, but they could see the Savior. They felt like they were going to perish, but they knew there was one on board that could save them. And so they were okay. Go to Mark 6. Let's flip over two chapters. He calmed the storm. He's fed the 5,000. The Bible said straightway he constrained his disciples to get in the ship, done everything but pick them up and put them in there, and to go to the other side. There it is again. He constrained them to get in the boat and go to the other side. Again, when he wants you to go to the other side, if he tells you to go, you'll get there. It may be a little rough before you get there, but you'll get there. While he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when the even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. If you go to the book of John again, it tells us that it was dark. It worked off. It got dark. I mean, he put them in the boat at evening time, and by the time they cast off and by the time they row out there about three and a half miles, listen, it has got dark. And the Bible said that they were in the midst of the sea and he alone on the land. And again, I know I preached this 1,000 times, and he saw them toiling and rowing. He saw them. They are toiling and rowing in the middle of the sea. But he is alone on the land. It is dark. How did he see them toiling and rowing? Ain't it John? I believe it's John that tells us that they were, 25 to 30 furlongs out there, which is like 3 to 3.5 miles. And it is dark, and the waves are tossed to and fro, and the Bible says that he saw them. How did he do that? Well, the same way that he sees us when we can't see him. Brother Caldwell testified to that Wednesday night. Hey, listen, I mean, there comes a time when storms come in our life. And friend, it ain't that he ain't on board. But we can't see him on board. But notice this. He saw them toiling and rowing. For the wind was contrary to them, and about the fourth watch of the night he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. I'm not sure what they were more afraid of, the storm or when they saw him coming. I mean, wouldn't that be a sight? I mean, they're in the middle of this thing. They're rocked to and fro, and their heart is breaking on the inside. Hey, listen, friend, when the storm comes and he gets black as midnight, you can't see him, you can't feel him, you can't talk to him. I always know he sees you. I don't know if they were crying out to him or not. I'd say they were. I'd say they were at least thinking, boy, I wish he was on board this time. He's a God that responds. Did he just not come walking on the water? Did he not make a way to get to them when there was no other way to get to them? Did he not respond to them? How many times have we ever looked at the situation, maybe in somebody else's life or of our own life or the storm that we're going through, and we say, man, I don't see it. I don't see how we're going to get out of this one. It's a mess. But you know what he done? He come walking on the water. And no matter how extreme or how severe the storm is, he can get to us. He can get to us. Number four, I'm going to hustle and hurry. Can I tell you, when we call out, when saints alone call out, God will respond. Bible said in Psalms 4, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. I'm glad he's heard just my prayer. Now, I like when we pray together and we get God to move and we see things happen together. But I'm talking about when we pray by ourselves. Get in our prayer closet and shut the door. And boy, begin to pray to things that nobody else knows about. And desires and needs that we have that nobody else knows about. And we begin to pray. And boy, we see God move. Ain't that something? Listen, when we're facing temptation, right? We don't want everybody to know what's going on up here, do we? But boy, when we face temptation and we cry out, What was it he said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 over there? No, there's no temptation taken such as common to man. But God will make a way of escape that we'll be able to bear it. Hey, listen, when we cry out and say, Lord, I don't know how to get through this thing. But if you'll help me, I know that you will. And then depend on him and do our part. But cry out. Hey, when there's a need in our life, you know, there's some needs we don't want to tell folk about. Or we think that they're too small to even make requests for on Wednesday night when we come in here. And we begin to pray and seek God. Get in our closet. And when we cry out, God hears us. Ain't that something? I love it. Bible said in Hebrews chapter 4, lest therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in a time of need. Just go to the throne room. Go to the throne room. Zachary, your wife got up and left, but I'll tell you this. One of the people that I called when Carter got sick was Brother Seals. I called Brother Larry. And I said, you pray for that boy. So last time I came to the hospital, that's when I called him. And I said, he called me back. That's who called me when I was in the room in there with you. And I called him back on the way home. I said, that boy's already doing better. He said, that's probably pretty good. He said, you know, when you left me that message, I prayed for him. So he said, you tell Zach and Bethany that I prayed for him and he got better. I said, you got into the throne room, didn't you, Brother Seal? Hey, listen, you know, there's just sometimes that we get into the throne room. We get into the throne room and he hears us. And boy, he answers us. The Bible said, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart, and save us such of a contrite spirit. When we don't know what to do, and all we do is cry out, he'll hear us. He responds when we don't know what to do. He responded to Hannah. He responded to Samuel over there when he prayed for Israel. God moved for Samuel. He responded to Elijah in our text verse, made fire rain down from heaven, and then he made water rain down from heaven. Ain't that something? Even when Elisha had the enemy all the way around him, and his servant said, what are we going to do? You know what? Elisha didn't pray to the Lord and say, Lord, you're going to have to take care of these enemies. You know what he said? Lord, open the eyes of my servant, that he may see. And the Bible said that the Lord opened his eyes, and he looked around the mountains out through there, and there was horses and chariots of fire all the way around. Boy, I'm telling you, if God ever opened our eyes to the spiritual dimension, there is no telling what we're liable to see. Last of all, number five, when strays want to come and confess. In other words, when folk want to get right, God will hear. Luke chapter 15, you find the prodigal son. I talked about him last week. And most of you know the story. He got what he wanted and left home. The Bible said he went down into a far country. And when he had wasted all his substance, the Bible said there came a great famine. And he began to be in want. And the Bible said that he joined himself unto a citizen of that country. And he sent him out to feed swine. And the Bible said that he had feigned himself and that to eat the husk that the swine did eat. But then the Bible said, but when he came to himself, he said, how many servants of my father had bread enough and to spare? He said, I will return home. He said, I'll go home. And he'll say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and I've sinned against thee. He said, make me as one of thy hired servants. All right. He got his plan right. He got headed home. He got his plan right. He got his heart right. And then he had to make that journey home, didn't he? So you know what he done when he got home? The Bible said while he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and ran to him. And the Bible said he fell upon his neck and he kissed him. I believe that son was already on his knees when his father got there. Because the Bible said he fell on him. He was already down. He was already in a place of submission with his father. And he said, Father, I have sinned against thee and I've sinned against heaven. And you know, that's as far as the father let him go. He didn't say, make me as one of the hired servants. He stopped him. He said, I've sinned against you. He said, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. You know what? When folk want to come and get right with the Lord, he'll let you. He let the prodigal. I preached on it not too long ago that he let King Ahab get right. People that we wouldn't even dare think about letting get right, he let them get right. He let King Manasseh get right. Murdered all them people and killed all them babies and done all that wickedness and debauchery in the land of Israel. God let him get right. He is a God that responds. That's who we're serving this morning. When a sinner cries out, he'll save them. When the saved congregates, he'll move. When our storm comes, he'll answer. When we cry out as a saved person, his saint, he'll come by and move for us and let folk get right that ain't right with him this morning. He'll respond every time. He'll respond. What do you need him to respond for? Let's bow our heads this morning. Listen, maybe you're not saved. Jacob, get us some music, our son. Listen, if you're not saved, I want you to know you're the most important person sitting in this meeting this morning if you're not saved. Jesus wants to save you. And all you have to do is come and cry out to him. And you know, if you'll cry out to him, he'll save you. He said, preacher, I don't know what to say or what to do. Let me tell you. If you believe that Jesus died for you and rose again for you, and from your heart you'll ask him to save you, he'll do that. Preacher, is it really that easy? It is really that easy. I struggled with that for years, church, about how easy salvation truly was. Because all I ever done the night that I got saved was just ask Jesus to save me. Then you'd hear preachers say, you got to say this and do this, or say this and mean this. Oh no, the Bible said in Romans 10:13,
for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I called on him. I went to get saved that night. I called on Jesus to save me. I believe he saved me. Now that's all it takes. If he's knocking on your heart today, if he's wanting you to come and get saved, he'll save you today. Hey, dear friend, maybe you're facing a storm today. Listen, you don't have to wait for me. Quit talking. You can come when you want to. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you need God to respond for. But if you need him to respond in your life, won't you come and bring it to him? Won't you bring it to him? You say, preacher, it's bigger than me. Well, then you know what? You bring it to all of us and we'll pray for it. We'll congregate together and pray for it. We'll praise him when he answers and watch him move. You need to come and pray. I want you to come. Maybe you need to get right with the Lord. Maybe there's something you need to deal with him about. Won't you come this morning?